I'd like to read with you, please, in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And beginning at verse 21. Matthew 18 and 21. I don't have a message that you might refer to as a meditation, but Sandy's message has certainly softened us, I trust, to receive a practical word of ministry. Matthew 18 and verse 21, then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, or 77 times. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'd like to speak about the rare jewel of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Everyone needs it. Not as many offer it. Which means that there are many people moving through life without the peace of being forgiven or the joy of being forgiving. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. It's clear that forgiveness was on the mind of Peter. And perhaps a certain sin in particular that his brother had committed was on his mind. And that's what sets, that's the setting of the story now that Jesus tells of the unforgiving servant. Peter has asked the Lord this question, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And maybe it's because the person that he has in his mind has done it a number of times, and he's wondering, to what extent should I continue to grant this person forgiveness? So he says, as many as seven times. We're told that the rabbis used to say there was an obligation to forgive three times, so Peter doubles it and he adds one and thinks maybe he's on safe ground. And Jesus' response is, he says, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And if some of the translations are accurate, 70 times 7, whatever it is, it's a really big number, right? It's a lot more than Peter had in mind. And maybe Peter's offender was getting close to the number that he had in his mind, and he wasn't sure what he was going to do next. What Jesus said may have reminded Peter of another 77 in the Bible. It came from Genesis 4, beginning of the Old Testament. Genesis 4, a man by the name of Lamech. He spoke about revenge that he would exact, that he would and that he would take against those who hurt him. And you remember that he said, if Cain's revenge, remember the Lord set a mark on Cain, and then seven times vengeance on the person that does anything to him. He says, if Cain's revenge is about sevenfold, then Lamech's revenge will be 77-fold. Again, the two numbers are there, the 7 and the 77, just as they are here. The way of Lamech is certainly the way of this world, isn't it? You hit me, I will hit you back even harder. His 77 was the way of vengeance. Jesus' 77 is the way of forgiveness. Not that the 78th will then bring down the judgment that you've withheld for so long, and because it's really hard to sin against somebody 77 times, especially as a brother and sister in Christ. But that's not the essence of what Jesus is saying. He's teaching about the length and the necessary grace that is required to extend and display the rare jewel of forgiveness. We don't see it too much in this world. I want you to think first about needing forgiveness. From the part one of this story, needing forgiveness. It's evident that the man in the story that Jesus told was in great need of forgiveness. If you look at verse 24, it says that when he took account of his servants, when he had begun to reckon, there was one brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. That's a big number. In Greek, I suppose you could say he's grabbing the largest number in the language and pluralizing it. It's a massive amount equivalent to tens of millions of dollars or more. And I think that Jesus wants Peter to think about himself in that regard. To think about his own debt. I think the Lord Jesus wants us to think about our own debt. Think about what we owed to God. And think about the enormity of our sins. Every sin is a debt that we owe to God. We preach this in the gospel, and yet we sometimes forget that's where we were. We were indebted to God with a staggering amount of debt. Imagine every sin is like a line on the credit card statement that arrives. I don't know if you still get paper statements in the mail. I do, even though I still go and check online and check the balance. And I remember, you know, before you could do some of that, the credit card statement would come in the mail, and the envelope felt quite heavy. He said, there are a lot of pages. What are all these pages? The pages are filled with transactions, times when you swipe the card, and then there's the grand total on the bottom, and you look at it and you say, is it really possible that I have spent this much money, or I am now indebted by this much money? And imagine that every one of our sins of our past is like a line on the credit card statement, and it arrives. They're going to need a lot of paper. And the package is going to need a lot of postage, right? This is what we owed to God. The grand total of the balance that we owed is staggering. Tim reminded us last night about the mountain, which is our sin. It is a large amount, and we can't pay it. Just like verse 25 says about this man in the story. Look at verse 25. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The man doesn't have what he needs. He is in desperate need, therefore, of something else. He's in need of forgiveness, debt forgiveness. Because what has taken place has effectively rendered him a slave. He's ordered to be sold, along with those in his family. Payment must be made. Isn't that a good picture of us? It's important to see that this is us before we get to stage two of the story. This is where we were. We were indebted to God because of our sins with a massive amount of debt that we couldn't pay and enslaved by the power of sin. And God demanded payment, but a payment we certainly couldn't make. We needed forgiveness. Secondly, I want you to think about receiving forgiveness. And that's what's offered to this man. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. What does he do? He's pleading for mercy. a beautiful picture of what God has done for us in the person of our Lord Jesus. He took responsibility for the debt of our sin. He was wounded for our transgression. Needing forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. Now comes part two of the story, and the part that maybe I don't like so much. It's a matter now of extending forgiveness. We'll be forgiving people. After all, we're representing the Lord who forgave us. So do we model a forgiving God by forgiving others? So think for a few minutes then of extending forgiveness. Look at verse 28. Afterwards, the same servant goes out and he finds one of his own fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he grabs him by the throat. He grabs him, puts his hand around his throat, and he says, "Pay me what you owe." Right? 100 denarii. Has been removed. I've been released from it. And as you're appreciating that, and you're walking out, and you're heading toward your house that you own, and you remember that your friend that you gave the $20 bill to last week still has to pay you back. And you make your way in your car to your friend's house, and you knock on the door. Have it right now. What do you mean you don't have it? And you grabbed him by the throat and started shaking. You say, "That I would never do that," right? That's outrageous. Who would ever do something like that? Now, I don't want you to think about money, but I want you to think about sin. You owed the Lord $10 million, and he forgave the whole thing. And now your brother who said something about you, what he said was about $20, okay? You got the idea? How are you going to respond to it? Patience with me, and I will pay you all. You hear what the man is saying? Exactly the same thing that he said in verse 26. Now he follows the way of Lamech. Vengeance. You're going to pay me back. You will get what's coming to you. You will pay what you have owed. What is forgiveness, by the way? It's a little sidebar, but I think it's critical. What is forgiveness? I suppose it's important to point out what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not just excusing other people. Forgiveness is not excusing people. You know, we excuse people for bumping into us when they're in a hurry. At least I hope. We excuse people when they cut us off in traffic because they're not paying attention. Okay, that's probably a bad example. We don't necessarily excuse some of that. But forgiveness is not tolerating bad behavior or just pretending that the behavior is not so bad. Forgiveness isn't excusing an offense. Forgiveness is not forgetting an offense, because there are some things you're not going to be able to forget. It's not forgetting an offense. All you need for that is a bad memory. And you get old enough and you forget nearly everything. So it's not, forgiveness is not forgetting an offense or just excusing an offense. Forgiveness is not even reconciling with the offender. That hopefully will come later after forgiveness has been offered and received. Forgiveness, I think C.S. Lewis said, I'm using him again, he said he finally forgave a man that died 30 years before. He finally forgave somebody that had been dead for 30 years. So there's no reconciliation even possible there, but he was still able to forgive. What constitutes the rare jewel then of forgiveness? What makes it so unique? What makes it so beautiful? And I do think it is God's gift to us that we're able to forgive one another. I suppose you could say it starts with this first stage, and it is releasing your rights, at least the rights you think you have, releasing your right to retaliate, giving that up. Stop entertaining fantasies of exacting revenge on your offender. The next time I see him, I am going to say, you know it would be good, you know it would be sweet if this happened or if that happened, and the things are going through your mind. Dave Hagler worked as an umpire in a recreational baseball league. He was pulled over one evening for driving too fast in the snow in Boulder, Colorado. He tried to talk the officer out of giving him a ticket. Successful. And the officer said, if you have a problem with the ticket, there's a court date marked on it. You can just show up there and plead your case. At the first game in the next baseball season, Hagler is umpiring behind the plate. The first batter up is the police officer. As the officer is about to step into the batter's box, they recognize each other and multiply until it ends up something like, we remember Samson with the Philistines, and you wonder, when is this ever going to end? And back and forth they go. Release your right to retaliate. And if you can do that, you can move into what you might say is another stage in forgiveness. And it's forcing yourself, I was going to say allowing yourself, but it might even be forcing yourself to seeing your offender differently. So that when you see them, it's not all you see is the offense. Because they're people too. They're still people. We tend to think of them only in terms of the hurt that they have caused or what they have done. And you see their face and you think of their offense. You hear their name in public and you think of their sin. Refuse to see them as an offender, but as your brother, as your sister in Christ. And if the person is an unbeliever, see them as someone still made in the image of God. And if you can get through that stage, and that's a tough one, and you might have moments where you fail, we all do. So that you can get to a point where you hear someone else praise them without an outburst. You know how that is, right? You hear other people talking such high and mighty things about this person and the blood pressure is going up and you just want to jump in and say, yeah, but, right? They did this, or don't forget that this happened. Now, you may still have moments of weakness.